From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. If you're a kid in foster care, a lot of adults come in and out of your life. Social workers, judges, teachers, guidance counselors. For some of Maryland's foster kids, stability comes in the form of a grown-up with an awkward title, Court-Appointed Special Advocate, or CASA for short. Rosti Eduardo, executive director of the nonprofit CASA of Harford County, explains what it can mean for a child to be matched with a special advocate.
Robin was there through each of the changes. She was a consistent person that could visit with him from one home to the next.
We'll speak with DeEduardo, volunteer Robin Hewitt, and a mother whose son was matched with a CASA when he was in foster care. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Children in the foster care system have a lot of adults coming in and out of their lives. Social workers, foster parents, therapists, guidance counselors, teachers, relatives. Court-appointed special advocates, known as CASAs, are specially trained volunteers tasked with speaking up for the best interests of these children. CASAs are paired with a child or a group of siblings and meet monthly with all of the people involved in the case. CASAs stick with their child for the duration of their time in foster care, offering a stable presence for the kids to rely on. Not every child in foster care has a court-appointed advocate. Across the state, the Maryland CASA Association supports 15 programs. They serve 21 jurisdictions with nearly 1,000 CASA volunteers. But the Department of Human Services reports that as of August, more than 4,700 children in Maryland are in out-of-home care across the state. So there aren't enough CASAs to go around. How does the system work? In a few minutes, we'll talk to a CASA volunteer and a mother who has worked with a CASA. But first, we're joined by Ross DeEduardo, executive director of the nonprofit CASA of Harford County. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
So, in a nutshell, what do CASAs do?
CASAs are appointed by the court to look after a case of a child that's in foster care. They are designed to be an extra set of eyes and ears for the court. There are a lot of people who speak for the cases when they go through court. The child will have an attorney. Department of Social Services has an attorney. The parents have attorneys. And so they're getting a perspective from each of the people that they represent. A CASA comes in and their only interest is looking at what's in the child's best interest. So they get to know the child, speak to everybody involved with the child, a lot of the people that you mentioned, guidance counselors, therapists, teachers, to really get a good sense of, is the child getting all that they need while they're in the system? Are their educational needs being met? Are their physical needs being met? Are they in an appropriate placement? And then they report to the court when the case does come into court with the report that gives recommendations.
Couple of things. First of all, you mentioned a lot of the adults in the case are lawyers.
Yes.
What are the requirements to be a CASA? Who could volunteer?
It's very open. You have to be 21. You have to pass a background check. You have to be able to complete the training. And that's about it, and have a desire to help children. And a lot of people do ask, you know, how are they qualified to do what they're doing? And that's because they go through a very intensive training program that we provide. And the attorneys are the ones coming from a legal perspective. And everyone knows that. The CASA, it's known by the court that they are an individual community member who has taken on this role to look after the child's interest, and they make recommendations. Decisions are still up to the magistrate or the judge who hears the case, but it just gives them another piece of information to hear from as they compile everything.
Tell me about the training.
It's a 30-hour training. The way our program does it is a 15-hour online and a 15-hour in-class version. It is sanctioned by the National CASA Association. They get very specific information that they're trained on, such as, you know, child welfare laws, child abuse and neglect, mental illness, substance abuse. And then in class, we do lots of practical case studies where they come together and they read fictional information about a case and they learn who to interview, what kind of information they can get from different parties, and then practice making recommendations for these cases.
You mentioned they make recommendations to the court. Is this something they write in a report, or is this an oral presentation in the courtroom?
A report is submitted to the court, officially on paper, written report. But the CASA is also present, and the magistrate always calls on the CASA when they're there to ask if they have anything else that they would like to add to their report. And sometimes it may just be to highlight something specific in the report. Sometimes they don't have anything extra to add, and they'll just state that it's in the report.
What kind of impact do CASAs have?
Well, statistically, I'll go with that way first. There was a study done years ago showing that children who have a CASA spend significantly less time in foster care. They are less likely to return to foster care, and parents are provided, or families are provided, with more services in those cases where there's a CASA involved. The impact that I see is that a child doesn't always have to feel lost in the system. Sometimes there are situations where the child doesn't feel like there's someone there for them. They may go to court. They hear lots of people talking about them in court or in meetings. And a lot of times I think they don't feel like they have a voice or someone that's really, truly listening to them. And it's not the CASA's responsibility to talk to them about their behavioral issues or to lecture them about things. It's to be a listening person. So the child has someone that they can talk to about what they feel comfortable with in their situation and what they don't. And we do serve children of all ages, though. So a CASA for a younger child would serve a different function than, say, a CASA for a 19-year-old.
Someone who's volunteering to be a CASA, do they get to pick whether they're going to work with younger kids, older kids?
We always present possible cases to our volunteers. We don't want to just throw them with something that they may or may not be comfortable with. So we do ask them their opinions about what age child they might like to work with. Are there certain issues that they feel they may have some experience with that would make them better with a specific child? So we do try to match, but no, we don't just give them a case. They do have say-so over what cases they take.
How long are children usually in foster care? Does the same CASA stay with them for the entire time?
The intention is for the CASA to remain on the case the entire length of time that the case is in care.
And that is usually how long?
It's hard to say because we have such skewed data, because we have one particular case right now of a young man who got his CASA when he was 4. He was never adopted, never had a family to return to, and is still in the system now at age 18. And he had the same CASA for 14 years. So his data kind of skews things, but I would say the average would be 18 to 24 months. With there being a lot of cases that may close sooner than that, closer to 6 months or 12 months. But I think when we look at the overall average, I would say 18 to 24 months.
We need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll hear from a CASA volunteer and from a mother whose son had a CASA. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about CASAs, court-appointed special advocates. They are trained volunteers who represent the best interests of children in the foster care system. They can be a listening post for kids. I'm speaking with Ross DiEduardo, executive director of CASA of Harford County. It's a nonprofit that trains volunteers to advocate for children in the social service and foster care system. And I'm also joined by Robin Hewitt, who's been a volunteer for about 2.5 years. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
And also with us is Savannah McKinney, whose son had a CASA. She has since regained custody of her son, Ezra. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Robin Hewitt, why did you decide to become a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate?
My children were older. My son was out of high school. My daughter was starting high school. And I just wanted you know, something to do in my life. And I had a friend that I work with who is a CASA, and I just loved hearing about it and how helpful she was with the children that she was working with. And I thought that's something that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a voice for a child because they don't have a voice all the time. And like Ross said, when they're in court, everyone's speaking about them and for them. And I wanted to be that person.
And so what was your training like?
It could be a little bit in depth and hard because you're watching. Oftentimes we would watch these videos of what it was like for a child to be in foster care. And it was quite eye-opening. It was really sad. These children get taken out of their home and they get a trash bag and they're throwing what stuff they can as quickly as they can in there, and they leave and they go to a place where they've never even met these people or their family members. So we're watching videos like that, getting an idea of what it's like to be a child that has been taken from their home and placed into care.
So it was a pretty intense training. What was the hardest part of it?
I think, honestly, watching these videos and seeing what the life of a child was like, being in an abused environment or a neglected environment, and seeing how they were put through the system, it was very difficult for me. Where oftentimes I would just have tears in my eyes when I was in that classroom.
Did it make you worry about whether or not you could actually do the work?
I was thinking, yeah, could I step up to this? Could I be that person for that child? Because it's intimidating. When you're in court and all of these people have lawyers and, you know, I don't have the training of a DSS worker. I don't have a degree. Who's going to listen to me? That's what I was thinking. Who would listen to me?
And how has that worked out?
It's worked out great. It's worked out really well. Like working with Savannah, the happiest day in my life was in court when she got her son back. It was amazing.
Savannah, tell us a bit about your story. Why is it that you came in contact with a CASA volunteer?
I was experiencing suicidal ideation and decided to check myself into the hospital to get the help that would get me on proper medication and everything as quickly as possible so that I could get myself together and be able to be a better caretaker and a better mother, because I was a single mother.
And your son was how old at that time?
He had just turned 3. I didn't have anybody that could watch him for a couple of days while I checked myself in. And so he was picked up by the system and was placed into foster care. It took about 2 years overall to finally regain custody and everything. And it was a very long uphill battle. It was a very rough 2 years. The CASA played an enormous role in helping with physical support, with resources, emotional support. She was a very good friend and advocate to have during that time, and even now, since the case has closed.
And Robin was your CASA?
Yes. Well, Ezra's CASA, but yes.
There was a lot going on in your life at that moment. Did you have any expectation about who you would be working with, or whether there would be somebody like a court-appointed advocate to focus on Ezra's best interests?
I knew that there would be at least one DSS caseworker, but I was not familiar with the CASA program or that there would be a CASA worker working with my case.
What was it like when you learned that there would be? Was that good news or was that like another complication?
I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know what it meant. I wasn't sure what the CASA program would have to offer, or if it would just be another hurdle to have to get past or another person to have to deal with. But it turned out to actually be a very helpful resource.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with Savannah McKinney, a mother who worked with a CASA volunteer, and with Robin Hewitt, the CASA volunteer who worked with her. And also with us is Ross DiEduardo. He's executive director of CASA of Harford County. And we are talking about court-appointed advocates. Robin, what's the biggest challenge of being a CASA?
There's a lot of people you have to get in touch with, a lot of people you have to interview. Sometimes it's kind of hard. When you go to meet somebody, like a child, I had a case one time where the children were taken from the home and I had to go to their house and I had to interview the parents. And they didn't know what I was, or they just thought I was another like government person that didn't want them to have their children back. And I had a lot of opposition from the father. And it was very difficult. You don't know what you're walking into and what kind of parents, are they going to be receptive to you or not. Sometimes they just, honestly, they look at you as just another person that's going to keep you from having your children. And when I went into this house, the father, his arms were crossed. He didn't want to talk to me. He had had his children removed twice for neglect, and he really gave me a hard way to go. It was, and you really have to pick and choose what you say. You have to make sure that you handle everything properly, because you have to have some type of a rapport with these people, because you are trying to help them get their children back. The bottom line is reunification. And that's what you want to do. So you certainly don't want to go in there and have any kind of, you know, being verbally harsh with people. You have to bite your tongue sometimes.
In that case, what did you reach into to find the way of communicating that was going to open doors instead of closing them?
I'm a very patient person most of the time. So I just really just took my time with them. I tried to be in touch with them as much as I could. I would go to the house and talk to them so that I would be on their turf. So, you know, not to meet them anywhere else but their house, just so they would feel comfortable, and just try to talk with them and see what I could do. Like, when you question a parent and you say, well, you know, are you going to keep up with their IEP? Well, they instantly will get defensive.
Individualized education plan.
Yes, they'll get defensive. So you just have to say, you just have to pick and choose your words. Like, so when is the next meeting? Do you think I could go with you? You know, that kind of thing. Like, just try to help them, advocate for them as well as the child.
Do you find yourself in positions where you're tempted to give them an assurance that you realize you can't, in terms of like when the child might be coming back?
No, I never do that. No,
you're never tempted to?
No, mm-mm. No, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to be wrong and then have somebody be upset with me. Or if I say, oh, you'll have your child back in a couple of months, and it doesn't happen and I still have to work with this family, they're not going to be very receptive to me. You know, I want to do what's best for the child.
So, Savannah, it sounds as if your encounter with Robin Hewitt was not difficult. Or maybe I'm jumping to a conclusion.
No, Robin was very, very pleasant to deal with.
Did you have any sense of, oh, somebody else sticking their nose into my family's business?
I think initially, until I kind of figured out what this person is here for and what do they bring to the table and what do they want. It's a little hard to trust somebody until you kind of know what their goal with it is, because there are some people who you feel are working against you and are you know, working to go the opposite way and go for adoption as opposed to reunification. And so it didn't take very long to come to the conclusion that she was probably the most for reunification than I feel like anybody else really was. I feel like she was more on my side than anybody else in the case was, with maybe the exception of my attorney.
Savannah, how would you describe to somebody what the CASA volunteer, what Robin did for your son, Ezra?
Robin was a help when it came to any resources with anything that Ezra may have needed or that I may have needed, help for me to get on my feet and independent when it comes to trying to deal with the caseworkers and my best route, and just kind of an opinion or having somebody to be with you and kind of help you through the steps of that the case kind of goes through.
Ross DiEduardo, how many CASA volunteers are there in Harford County?
Currently, we have about 78 that are active CASAs, but right now we have 50 that are assigned to children.
And what is the need?
Harford County has a little bit under 200 children that are in foster care. And we are serving currently approximately 70 children right now. We usually, on average for a year, serve somewhere between 90 and 100 children. So we're not quite serving the number of children that we would like to. It's one of the goals of National CASA by 2020 for every child to have a CASA. And I'm not sure that we're going to get there, but that's what we're working towards and moving towards.
If I'm thinking of the numbers correctly, you're serving slightly more than half of the kids who might need a CASA.
Yeah, approximately. I was just going to comment about Savannah's case specifically and Robin, since I was her supervisor. Another thing that I saw that Robin provided in that case was some stability and consistency for her child, because he did change foster placements a number of times for various reasons. And Robin was there through each of the changes. She was a consistent person that could visit with him from one home to the next. So she stayed the same throughout the case as far as, you know, being a person that was there for him during those times as well. So it was a familiar face for him to see.
Savannah, was that important?
We went through four caseworkers throughout the case time period. And so that's the person who's going to pick up my son and bring him to visitations and take him to these different places. And even the caseworkers kept changing. So not only did the homes, the supervisors, the schools, the environments, the daycares, all of it just kept changing. That really was the consistent person that was there throughout all of it, is the CASA.
Robin Hewitt, that seems like a lot of responsibility.
I know. It's scary. But you know what? When you have that child that you know that you are that one constant person, like I'm a mom, that's just what you do. You don't think about it. You just do it. And I also advocated for Savannah, which is not what you typically do, but I could just see how much she loved him in these supervised visitations and what a good mom she is, and always had his best interest at heart. And I knew I had to work hard to reunify them. I didn't want him anywhere else but with her. So you just do what you got to do. You don't really overthink it. You just do it. It can be intimidating, but you just do it.
You've had several cases in your
yes
2.5 years as a volunteer. What happens at the end of a case? What happens when unification is the goal? And you said it was a happy day. And then
oh, yes. Well, I remained friends with Savannah and Ezra and took him out school shopping and bought him some school clothes and set her up with some school supplies. I have resources, people that I know that are helpful and that also want to help her. But like with my other cases, I have never seen them. I'm assuming all is well. I'm hoping all is well. But I don't know. I don't keep in contact with people. Once your case is over, it's like you're just done.
Is it hard to build up the energy to be open to the next case?
Oh, no, not at all. Bring it.
How do you choose, since there is a greater need than the number of volunteers you have, how do you choose which cases will get a CASA? Is that up to you?
It's not up to us. No, the court refers cases to us. The cases can be referred either by the juvenile magistrate or DSS or the child's attorney often will refer a CASA. But I remember very specifically when Ezra's case first came into care, and I was there the day that Savannah testified and was talking about her road to where she got to. And I knew instantly that in just watching that case, that this was a mother who loved her son. This was a little boy who was very attached to his mother. And I instantly thought, we need to get a CASA on this case. And I was very happy that it was referred to us and that we were able to work with that case, because I could see from day one that that was a situation that needed help.
And what do you do when you see a case like that and it doesn't work out that it gets referred to CASA?
If there's a case we feel very strongly could have a CASA, we are able to stand up in court and ask the magistrate, you know, would he like to have a CASA on this case? And I don't think he's ever said no when we're offering.
Savannah McKinney, what would you tell people who are listening to this and thinking, I wonder whether I could be a CASA?
I think if you are patient and interested in helping children who really could use all the support that they can get, I would absolutely encourage anybody to look into it. And we need as many as we can get. I was one of the lucky cases that actually had one. I can't imagine going through my case without having a CASA worker. So I was very lucky to be one of the ones that had that representative and had that advocate on my side.
Russ, what do you think is the biggest limitation on the number of volunteers? Why is it that there aren't more volunteers?
It is a very intense volunteer experience. It's not the same as some of the other volunteer experiences with children. So you really have to have a lot of time to be able to do it. But there are a number of people who do want to do it. We're also a small nonprofit. We don't necessarily have the advertising budget to really spread our name out there, which is why I'm very grateful that we're able to be here today.
Where does the money for CASA's work come from?
We are partially funded by a grant from the Administrative Office of the Courts. All the CASA programs in Maryland receive a partial grant from them, and then we're required to make up the rest of that. We do get a small stipend from Harford County government. We get some generous juror funds, and then the rest are in grants that I write to other organizations and fundraising as well.
Robin Hewitt, I'll give you the last word. What would you say to someone who's listening to this and trying to figure out whether it would make sense to be a CASA volunteer?
Oh, I'm always trying to get people. I talk about it all the time. If you have a heart and you want to help a child that just goes from home to home or separated from their family, just open up your heart and do it. You can do it.
I'm really grateful to you all for walking us through this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ross DiEduardo is Executive Director of CASA of Harford County, a nonprofit that trains volunteers to advocate for children in the social service and foster care system. Robin Hewitt is a CASA volunteer, and Savannah McKinney is a mother whose son had a CASA. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.